This is the Beer of the Day podcast.
From Beer of the Day World Headquarters in Elk Grove, California. This is the Beer of the Day podcast. Happy New Year, everybody. I know we've had one podcast come out since the New Year, but this is the first one we are recording in 2017. And we've got a good one lined up for you tonight. We have 7 beers to try. Coming from 5 different styles and 5 different states, plus a strange brew from New Zealand. I'm Dallas Helliker. Joining me tonight, Kira Hopkin, and from Pasadena, Jeff Miller. Hey, guys.
Hello.
Hey, how are you all?
We're doing really well. Welcome to 2017.
Happy New Year.
Yes, Happy New Year.
So we're recording this on January 6th. Episode number 65 of this show, and still going strong in the new year.
Looking forward to lots of great beer to drink all year long, just like last year.
Well, then let's hope this first one gets us off to a good start. We have Killer Bees. This is from Melvin Brewing in Alpine, Wyoming.
Starting off light, this is a American Blonde Ale.
At 5%, we only recently became familiar with Melvin. Jeff was up in Seattle, and they distribute to the Seattle area. So he brought back a couple different beers from them, their Melvin IPA and their 2x4, their double IPA. That 2x4 was maybe one of the best beers. It was without a doubt one of the best beers that I had of 2016. And it just so happens that on New Year's Eve, Joel gave me a couple of Melvin 2x4s. And so that was the first beer I had on New Year's Eve to get the party started. So that was excellent, as I remembered. And so I'm a big fan of Melvin. I'm looking forward to this Killer Bees.
Yeah, and I think we have very high expectations. So I hope it doesn't let us down, but we've had 2 beers from the brewery. They were both excellent. You know, blonde ales are not a style we drink a ton of, but sometimes we start off a show with a lighter beer like this. So color-wise, it's pretty golden yellow, very clear. Not much head. I mean, I have a very thin, sort of filmy head.
Same with me. I mean, it's not completely transparent. I'd say it's translucent. Like when I look through the glass, my finger's a little bit blurred, but I can look into the beer and see the small little bubbles of carbonation floating up.
I'm picking up some hints of citrus orange, maybe?
Citrus orange. I get like wheatgrass.
Yeah, grassy.
Maybe some hay a little bit or straw.
I don't get any honey on the aroma. I mean, this is sort of like a honey ale, I think. And I don't smell any honey, maybe on the taste. It's really good. I mean, for a light beer, 5%, it's got a pretty hoppy flavor, some like wheat. And I do get some honey, especially in the finish. It's a little sweet on the finish, but not overly sweet.
Yeah, I get it's kind of your typical lager. But really smooth and really drinkable. It's got kind of a bready or biscuity type of grain flavor. Very low bitterness, an abbreviated aftertaste, very crisp.
Yeah, it's biscuity. I think, like you said, it's light, bready, biscuity flavors. I think it's just one of those beers that's really clean, refreshing, drinkable. I mean, this is, you know, probably not the right time of year to be drinking this, because this is one you could, you know, all summer long drink a 6-pack of this while you're sitting out by the pool, mowing the lawn, whatever. I mean, it's that type of beer. but good, lots of good flavor.
We did a podcast last summer called Summertime Brews, and I take a sip of this beer and it transports me back to that show where we did it on a hot day and we were drinking a lot of similar beers to this style. But for what this is trying to be, it pretty much nails it.
What do you guys think about the honey? Like, it's, do you get the honey? I mean, I think there's a little bit, but it's not much.
I wouldn't pull honey out of this.
I'm getting more of the grass, if anything. The grassy hay taste.
Yeah. I think I get a little bit more with each sip. You know, if you have three or four sips, it starts to have this sort of warming feel to it, and I get this a little bit more honey sweetness.
Maybe like on the back of the throat, but right up front, I'm not really getting the honey too much.
I think that if anything, on the aftertaste, there's just that little bit of hop bitterness that keeps the aftertaste from lingering too long. And I love that in this type of beer because it allows you to, it automatically self-clears the palate and gets ready for the next sip. And it makes it very drinkable and where you want to have multiple sips, and it kind of invites you to take that next sip. Pretty good. All right, anyone have any interesting beers this week they wanted to mention?
I had a couple, but I'll stick to one that I'm going to mention just because I went to it today. I went to a beer release at Highland Park Brewery, which is a suburb of Los Angeles. And, you know, it's all the rage right now with these hazy IPAs. And, you know, our most recent podcast before this was hazy IPAs. A lot of LA breweries are doing this now. So we went for it today, got to the brewery, long line. It was so long. I couldn't believe it. And this is a brewery. Dallas has been there. I've been there several times.
This is Highland Park.
Cool, Highland Park at the Hermosillo. It's not too far from where I live, but I get there and the line is just super long, and they didn't make a lot. They made 100 cases of this beer. And I think 100 cases, I think when they say that, they mean four packs. And, you know, so we wait in line for a while and then they come out and tell us they're all gone, sold out. So we didn't get any of the beer, but we went inside into the brewery. They had it on tap. It's called Cloud Party, and it was really good. I mean, I'm not completely sold on this style of beer yet, but this one was tasty. It had some mango, some citrus, no acidic flavors. I mean, some of these hazy IPAs, they're all really juicy and fruity, and some of them have a little bit of an acidic flavor, and this did not have that. So I was impressed. It was good. I like Highland Park Brewery, so it's kind of a fun experience, even though we didn't get the can of beer to go. I mean, trying it on tap was good.
That's good. Talking a little bit of shit on WhatsApp today, you showed us the line, and you're like, I'm in line at a brewery. Well, a juicery.
Yep.
It's getting to the point where these places are selling juice rather than beer.
Yeah, and it's, I mean, like I said, obviously this stuff sort of came out of the Northeast to begin with, but now so many, you know, a lot of places in California are doing it, in LA especially. Monkish has a lot of these beer releases of these cloudy IPAs, which is tons of people line up many hours ahead of time. Mumford does it. Highland Park, Noble Ale Works. There's just a bunch of LA breweries doing it, and it's a big hit right now. I mean, I'm just really impressed with the number of people that line up on weekdays, weekends to go get these beers.
Yeah, you take off work on a Friday afternoon to go, or what?
Yeah, I just took a long lunch.
Oh, okay. Kira, you had one you wanted to mention?
Yeah, I actually stopped by Total Wine and kind of picked out a few different beers that I had never seen before and came across one from Boulevard Brewing Company. It's called Tropical. It's a pale ale, and it's brewed with grapefruit and passion fruit. And we actually, Dell and I had a little bit of it tonight. Surprisingly, I didn't get as much grapefruit as I had thought it would be, but it was actually very light and very refreshing. It's just one of those I think I could generally drink throughout the day. Yeah, but I have to go back and find some more of it, though.
The tropical part of it sounded really good to me, and I was pleasantly surprised when all those beers we had on the last podcast were a lot juicier than this beer. This was a little more dry, and it was just kind of a hint of the tropical fruit flavors. So it actually was more like a beer than it was juice. And definitely I would have it again. I recommend it. I'd never even seen it before. It's pretty solid. All right, well, let's get into the next beer. This is one that Jeff and I picked up when I was down in L.A. 3 weeks ago. We went over to see our buddies at Claremont Craft Ales, and this was a new one that they had just started putting into cans, and it's their Raspberry Gosa. This is a tart wheat ale with raspberries, 5.5%.
And as you can hear, this is in a can. Some of their beers are in bottles, some are in cans. And they just started recently doing this. And we found out while we're there, this is one of their biggest hits right now is this beer. It's, you know, one of their top selling beers. So I've never had it. Looking forward to this. We've had a few Gosas in the past that we really enjoyed. This is the first one we've had that is with fruit in it. So it's a tart wheat ale with raspberries.
And it pours a golden color, slightly hazy and slightly more hazy than the previous beer that we had. And there's a very thin, foamy white head on it, but it's not a film. It's actually a head, even though it's half a finger.
It smells like a nail or a hair salon. When you first walk into a hair salon, it's exactly the smell.
And I think the color to this, there's a little bit of red. There's a little bit of redness to this. You know, maybe it's just the raspberries. If I, you know, when I set it next to the can, but it looks like a golden color that has some raspberries added to it. The aroma on this is very inviting. It smells fruity and a little sour.
Wow. So the raspberry is right up front. It's like raspberry puree type of flavor. And then that's what I get immediately. And it sticks around in the aftertaste for quite a while as it kind of decrescendos. I'll have to take a couple more sips here just to get the essence of the beer part of it, because it's quite, the raspberry is quite prevalent.
Yeah, it's not quite as sour as I was expecting it to be.
No, I agree. I mean, it's a little tart, but it's not too sour. It's a little salty. Like some of these beers tend to have a salty, like briny.
A little
taste.
Bit, but not
it's
that
little.
Salty.
Yeah.
It's very reserved in the saltiness. It's very reserved in the sourness. It's not very too tart and not too salty, but it does have those qualities.
And the raspberry really does dominate, and it doesn't overwhelm. It's a really nice flavor. I like it. If you like a refreshing beer with a little fruit taste to it, this is perfect. And it's that real fruit flavor, you know, not the chemically or artificial type.
Right. When I smelled it initially, it smelled a little bit like chemically or not a little artificial. But when I taste it, it tastes like real raspberry. It's not like raspberry candy or, you know, it tastes like there's really actually raspberry in here, raspberry juice.
And I'm sure there is raspberry puree or something like that. I'm not sure exactly what type of raspberries they use, but knowing this brewery well, I'm sure they use real raspberries in this.
I think that this is a great beer for maybe people that don't like the strong IPAs or you know, like the bitter beers. This is a little sweeter, a little tamer, but it's still a beer for sure. And I think this is one that is probably pretty universally acceptable and drinkable.
Yeah, this would also make for a great summertime beer. Sitting outside in the heat. I mean, it's refreshing. It's just a very, very nice drinkable beer.
Yep.
I enjoy this.
Definitely. So, I mean, we are big fans of Claremont. We go every time I'm down in LA, maybe probably half the time we probably end up there. And at some point of the trip. And every time we go, there's always a few new ones to try. They probably have how many? 18 different ones on tap at any given time?
Yeah, between 15 and 20.
And, you know, they're always trying new stuff, but then they have these solid staples of every different style that they kind of keep, you know, keep on tap. And they tweak them a little bit. Like we were talking with Brian the last time we were there, and he kind of gave us the update on the lineup. And, you know, oh, we decided to try this hop in this beer, or mixed in a little of this, or, you know, they're always tinkering a little bit to try and make things better. And the other thing is that they're constantly expanding. Every time we go there, they've added a new piece of equipment that's making their lives that much easier. And, oh, we, you know, expanded to the building next door. We added this new walk-in freezer, refrigerator. And so it's kind of been cool to see a brewery go from the third anniversary, fourth anniversary, second anniversary, third, fourth. And so if you're ever in the East LA area, definitely check out Claremont.
Yeah, and we talk about this when we're there. Like, just the tasting room has this really cool vibe. It's the most, like, laid back, cool tasting room. Everybody who works there is really, really nice. The crowd is just friendly, easygoing people. I mean, it's just a nice place to go, like, sit down and have a beer. You couldn't ask for a better tasting room experience than what you get at Claremont.
Definitely. And if you want to go back, about 1 year ago, maybe even to the day, we recorded the Claremont show from the brewery, and we tried their entire lineup of beers and had a really good time. So one of our better episodes, if you want to go and check that one out. And now let's get into the beer news of the day. Well, I had my news stories printed out, and then a couple people today told me that I had to put this one in. And so we're recording this on the 6th, and this story came out on the 5th, and it's about shower beer. Now, I don't know if you've heard about shower beer before, but it says that if you've never taken a hot shower with an ice cold beer in your hand, you're missing out on one of the great joys of life. It's one of the secrets to happiness no therapist will ever tell you about. And now two Swedish companies have teamed up to create the first beer designed specifically to be gulped down in the shower, appropriately named shower beer. And it's a result of a collaboration between the Swedish brewery Pang Pang and the creative firm Snask. It's strong, very strong, 10% pale ale in a bottle, and it's just a little bit larger than 6 ounces. So it's 10%, but it's only 6 ounces, so you can drink it easily in the time it takes to take a shower, and doesn't have time to go warm. And it's a good way to start out the day with a little bit of 10% beer in your belly. So it says, sadly, it sold out immediately after it was released, but a rep from the company says they are looking to export it to the U.S. In the meantime, we recommend drinking any old beer in the shower and then washing your hair with it. So give that a shot.
I like it. Have you guys done that before?
The washing your hair with it? No.
No, taking a shower with a beer.
I have drank a beer in the shower
before. I have a shower koozie, but I haven't used it.
A shower koozie?
It doesn't stick to the wall like they claim. Apparently, it's only on plastic ones, not a tile.
Mm.
I've done it, but it's been several years. I think I need to bring this back.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's all the popular thing right now.
And I would probably opt for one of these beers like we just had, either the Melvin or the Claremont. I don't know if I'd want a 10% beer in the shower when I first wake up. Maybe you should take a shower at night.
No, that's supposed to be for when you like going out in the evening preparing. First thing in the morning might be a little rough.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. You take a shower before you go out at night. Oh, that would work too.
Yeah, you're getting amped up for the evening.
What I'll take for my 10% shower beer is the Melvin 2x4.
Mm-hmm.
Best 10% beer I've had in years. All right, the next article is from smartasset.com, and it's the Best Cities for Beer Drinkers 2016 edition. And I'll just go down the list from the top. The number one city for beer drinkers, Asheville, North Carolina. And Asheville has knocked Portland, Maine off the list to take the spot this year.
I can see that. I mean, we haven't been there, but there's a lot of good breweries in Asheville.
It has the most microbreweries per 100,000 residents of any city in the U.S. and is host to multiple annual beer festivals. So that's all that, despite being a relatively small city with only 88,000 people. So I think the way that they calculate this is basically it several factors. The total number of microbreweries in the city, the microbreweries per 100,000 residents, so like per capita, the bars per 100,000 residents, the average Yelp score of the breweries, the average price of a pint, and it indexes that all together and figures out what the best city is. Asheville, North Carolina, number one. Portland, Maine, number two. We've been to Portland, Maine, and while the number of breweries isn't that high, the population isn't that high, but the quality is really good there.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we were just there a few months ago. Allagash is great. There's a few other breweries there that make all great beers. So I definitely see Portland, Maine near the top of this list.
Yep. Pittsburgh is number three. We've never been to Pittsburgh breweries, or at least I haven't. So the average price of a pint of beer in Pittsburgh is only $3. So that's really helping Pittsburgh out here. Cincinnati, Ohio, number four. I know Joel's been there multiple times. Portland, Oregon, number five.
Delicious beers, by the way.
Yes, they lead in terms of total breweries with 72. And so that was one of the first ones. It's the reason it's all the way down at five is because the average price of a pint is $4,
which is still cheap.
Quite reasonable, because I think where we are, it's more than that. It's probably.
But I think the thing about Portland, too, is it's really like the whole state of Oregon is like this beer epicenter. And there's obviously a lot in Portland, but there's a lot of really good craft breweries spread out through the entire state of Oregon.
That's true. Columbus, Ohio, number six, second Ohio one. Denver, Colorado, number seven. Surprising it's that low. Wilmington, North Carolina is number seven, tied with Denver. Two from North Carolina. I think a beercation is in order for North Carolina. Billings, Montana is number nine, and Missoula, Montana is number 10.
Those surprise me. I mean, I'm sure, there's some good breweries in Montana, but there's just not very many of them. But, like you said, when they compile the metrics for this, it's all these factors that, lead to somewhere like Montana, if they just have a high number of bars or a cheaper price or whatever, stuff like that, high Yelp reviews gets on this list. I'm shocked that there's no California cities. Maybe where we live, the cities are just too big. There's obviously a lot of breweries here, but there's higher prices and lots of breweries, lots of competition.
The only California city to make the list was San Francisco at number 19. Hurting it the most is the $6 average price point. But for San Francisco, $6 is good. A lot of places you're going to be paying $7 or $8. It's just an expensive city. I'm surprised Los Angeles isn't on this list. L.A.
Or San Diego.
Well, San Diego should definitely be on here. I mean, I know it's expensive, but as far as number of breweries, and it's just a beer mecca. I can't see any list not having San Diego on it. And then,
I understand the metrics that they used for this. I just don't agree with them per se, because I would say a city like San Diego is a beer drinker's haven. It's more spread out, lots of breweries, but if you truly want to go to a city and have an incredible beer tasting experience, some of these cities should be on that list.
Yeah. And Las Vegas is on this list.
Reno. I mean, come on.
Reno's on the list. Oh my.
It's awful.
And we've had a few good beers in Las Vegas, but I would never consider Las Vegas a like craft beer destination.
I mean, that Tenaya Creek was good.
Yeah.
But we went to some breweries that were not that good. They only have 17 in the whole place, and probably half of them don't have a tasting room, if I had to guess right now. So they're being helped by the $3 price, which is probably helped by the casinos and the cheap little places where you buy all the cheap drinks and walk around the strip and, Fremont Street, Everything's cheap down there. So I don't know. I think they should have a list of the best city for beer drinkers based on the quality of the breweries and the beer. Spare no expense. Right? Doesn't matter what the price is, because people will pay for good beer.
I think we'll have to come up with our own list. After we do a few more beercations, we'll come up with our list of the top cities for beer drinkers.
I agree. And the last story, an 80s pop singer is coming out with his own craft beer. Can you guess who it is? It's Rick Astley. And so I've used this news story that came out today in order to Rickroll all the listeners of the Beer of the Day podcast. Pop singer Rick Astley, best known for his 1987 hit Never Gonna Give You Up, is joining the craft beer craze and says he will soon be coming out with his own brew. The 50-year-old English musician, whose hit reached number one in 25 countries nearly 30 years ago, said he's a big beer drinker and is currently seeking a fitting name for the new ale, reports Irish Mirror. I enjoy a beer with friends and I'm hoping to sell my own brand soon, Astley said. I've been working with the McKellar Brewery in Copenhagen, which was founded 10 years ago by a teacher who made his own beer at home. McKellar beer is quite experimental and they've been sending me various bottles to sample. So look for that in the stores sometime in the near future.
I mean, if I could give him one piece of advice, it would be to call up Stone Cold Steve Austin, because, you know, you hear of these celebrities who want to make their own beer, and Stone Cold Steve Austin did it right with his El Segundo Brewing Company beer, the Broken Skull, one of the best IPAs you can get, and he did it right. So I would highly recommend Rick to call up Stone Cold.
Yeah. Or Will Wheaton.
Yeah.
Who has his Will Farking Wheaton Woot Stout collaboration with Stone Brewery, which is excellent also. So there's a couple celebrities that have the beer brands out there. So we will try it when it is available. All right, let's get into one more beer before the break. We have Pseudo Sue, a pale ale from Toppling Goliath Brewing Company in Decorah, Iowa.
Smells great. Right out of the can. So mine just poured. It's got a really thick, white, foamy head, more than I probably intended to pour. It's, I guess it's dissipating pretty quickly. It's a golden orange, fairly light colored, some visible carbonation bubbles coming up from the bottom.
Not super hazy, but it's got really big bubbles in the head that really stick to the side of the glass, really good lacing on that.
The aromas, you know, this is a pale ale, but it smells a lot like an IPA. I mean, I'm getting a lot of hoppy, citrus, maybe some tropical fruit aromas. If I didn't know any better just smelling this, I would think it's an IPA.
I would too. In fact, I was surprised to read it was a pale ale when I saw it on the sheet here. I get some floral hops as well.
A little pine cone, maybe?
So that's pretty much the whole gamut. Jeff said citrus. He said tropical. I said floral. And Kira said pine. So they've got a good mix of all the hops.
Wide variety here.
Yeah, and even on the taste, I mean, I get the pine, Kira, that you got. Mm-hmm. It's a little juicy. I mean, not like these Northeast style, really like super juicy IPAs, but it's a different type of juicy with a beer like this. It's a fruity juiciness, but not in that like orange juice type of way.
No, I like the beer is a little bit dry. It's not overwhelming in any sense, but it's quite hoppy and it's got some bitterness to it. You know, I don't know what the IBUs are, but I'd put it at maybe 60 or so. Not super bitter, but it definitely has some bitterness to it. And it has kind of a dry mouthfeel, which I enjoy as well.
It does. And I think the body is pretty light. Good carbonation. It is dry. And especially in the bitterness is where the finish comes in. I mean, sort of that citrusy grapefruit dry finish.
You know, I don't like a beer that is undercarbonated, and this one is not overcarbonated, but it's certainly highly carbonated. You can feel it bubbling on your tongue as you drink it, and that's refreshing as well.
You know, we drink so many IPAs these days, and I think over the years our palates have evolved, and we sort of grew up drinking a lot of pale ales, and then we sort of started drinking way more IPAs. And I think we've, you know, at least personally, I've gotten away from pale ales a little bit, not intentionally. It just happens. And I think it's really refreshing to go back and find a really good pale ale like this. I mean, this is flavorful, tasty, hoppy. I mean, this is the taste profile that I look for in an IPA, but in a little bit lower alcohol pale ale style.
Yeah. But it still has a really big hop profile.
Yes.
Pale ales, you think of Sierra Nevada pale ale it used to be hoppy. Now it really isn't that hoppy compared to all the IPAs we drink. We used to really enjoy Firestone Pale 31, which is a fine pale ale. But this is a step above those standard pale ales in the hoppiness. And it's a really fresh hop flavor.
Yeah, this is excellent. I mean, I don't think I could ask for much more in a pale ale. This is a beer that has it's a well-known, like, good reputation. I mean, this is one of those beers that people seek out. And I'm really glad we got a hold of this, because this is a beer from Iowa. I mean, it's hard for us to get beer from Iowa. So this is cool that we were able to get this sent to us in California.
Yeah, certainly. All right, we're halfway through. We're going to take a break. And when we come back, we have a strange brew from New Zealand, an IPA from Wisconsin, a double IPA from the Bronx, New York, and we'll finish it out with a bourbon barrel-aged coconut stout. We'll be right back here on the Beer of the Day podcast. I want to take a minute to thank everybody for supporting this podcast over the holiday season and in general throughout the year, by doing their shopping on Amazon through the Beer of the Day website. It's the new year. Everybody's trying to get back into shape, New Year's resolutions, what have you. And so somebody went to the Beer of the Day website. They clicked on the banner on the right-hand side, and they purchased the Alec 350 Bluetooth headset wireless in-ear sports earbuds. It's sweat-proof. It's noise-canceling. And it has a mic on it so you can talk while you're jogging. Although that's tough because you have to breathe pretty hard to do that. So I don't know if you want to use the mic for that. But you can use it to listen to the Beer of the Day podcast while you jog. There's nothing better than hearing people drink beer while you're trying to burn calories. They paid $24.98 for it. We got 6% off of that. And we made $1.50. Probably the same person purchased for the Fitbit Charge 2, the Treasure Max stainless steel replacement bracelet band. So this looks like a piece of jewelry. It's stainless steel. It's nice and shiny. And then the Fitbit fits right on it. And it looks really good. They paid only $19.99 for it. We made 4%. That's 80 cents. Everybody does their shopping on there, and it all adds up. We end up being able to get some money to pay for our web hosting, the beer that we drink on this podcast, all the services that we use to send out the daily emails, to send the Beer of the Day straight to your phone and to your email box. So we appreciate you and all the shopping that you do on Amazon to support this podcast. Let's get back to the show. Welcome back in. This is our Strange Brew segment. You've all heard me say it 64 times previously, but There are some new listeners, so if you don't want to hear me explain it again, push the 15-second forward skip button now. Okay, the strange brew segment is the strangest beer that I can find in the refrigerator that given night that Jeff and I both have that fits the theme of the show. The theme of this show is no particular theme, so this beer works for those that purpose. It is called Death from Above from the Garage Project in Wellington, New Zealand. And this is an IPA brewed with chilies, mint, and mango. Now, Kira is allergic to mango, so she's pouring the beer, but she will not be drinking the beer. But she was looking forward to this one, and she's not really happy that we chose a beer with mango in it on the podcast that she's on. But she's too polite to say anything about it.
And for the record, I chose this as a strange brew because it's got mango, chilies, which they apparently spell in New Zealand with two L's, and Vietnamese mint and lime. And I've actually been researching this brewery in New Zealand, and it seems like a lot of their beers would qualify as strange brews on our podcast. You know how we tend to have a lot of strange brews from like the Lips of Faith series from New Belgium, just because they all sort of qualify. It would be the same with this brewery. Like if you look at their website, you look at all their beers, they put some random ingredients in all their beers. Makes it kind of interesting. They're very experimental.
Yeah, it's pretty much a brewery full of strange brews. So this one here pours a dark amber, dark orange color, pretty cloudy, but I do see quite a bit of carbonation flowing up. The major quality I see here is about four fingers of head, really thick, soap suddy. It's like what you, if you put too many bubbles in the bathtub and it like overflows with bubbles, that's what the head on this beer looks like.
Yeah, I was really careful trying to pour mine, and I got about half beer and half head. And, you know, head is important for beer, but it's a lot.
Yeah, we're going to fight through this head with a machete.
The aroma smells a little sweet, like I get the mango little on mango. The aroma.
Yep, I don't really get any mint or chilies in it.
Definitely no chilies, maybe some lime. I mean, there's a little bit of citrus, a little mango.
Yeah,
it smells like a tropical IPA. Interesting. On the taste, you do get a little bit of the chili, especially at first. And a lot of beers that have chili flavors, the chili sort of catches up with you where it's on the back end. And in this beer, I mean, I've only had one sip, and I'm hoping it doesn't change. But the chilies are really like up front at the beginning of this beer.
It is. Anytime I see chilies on a beer, I'm always a little bit afraid. The glass is trembling in my hand as I move it up to my lips and take a sip because I don't know how strong the chili is going to be. I'm like preparing myself for like fire in the back of my throat. This luckily is not the case. The chili is reserved. The mango is there. It is noticeable. I'd even say it's probably the prevalent quality of this beer. I do get a little of the cooling mint sensation on the aftertaste, and after I've taken a sip and I'm talking right now, I do get a little of that wintergreen spearmint type of quality to my mouth feel afterward.
It's a really interesting carbonation to me. I think it's highly carbonated, and in the mouth feel, it's got this powdery, dry, highly carbonated mouth feel that it's like the most noticeable thing that I get from this beer. Maybe it's just the extra large head.
Yeah, the extra large head hasn't even really fazed me at all. It kind of moves out of the way, and you can get a complete sip without having to fight through it. The carbonation in the beer itself, it's little tiny bubbles, but there's quite a lot of them. So you do get that little fizziness on the tongue.
I was going to say it's kind of like soda. Like it's sort of got carbonation like soda.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's fizzy. It's just a unique carbonation that I'm not used to with U.S. produced beers.
This is really good. You know, the more I drink it, the less the chili even. Usually chili is a cumulative thing. The more you drink it, the more it really becomes hotter and hotter. And on this one, the more I drink it, the more pleasant it is. Like, I've adjusted to the chili, and it ends up being just a nice, pleasant mango flavor. It is an IPA, so there is a mild hop flavor background in there. And then, you know, just a little bit of the graham cracker malts, you know, that's the kind of the base of this beer. Not really that strange at all. The strangeness is subtle. Let me put it that way.
I sort of disagree. I think it is strange. I mean, first, let me just say, like, the hops, I get, when you say it's a little hoppy, I think I get some tea-like hop flavors, maybe a little earthy. But I think it's strange because it has sort of equal parts of all of these sort of strange ingredients. There's a little bit of chili, a little bit of mint, a little bit of mango, a little bit of lime, and all of those sort of create this sort of complex, slightly strange taste. And I think just based on that, it's not like a typical beer we would drink.
That is true. But the reason why I say it's not that strange is because usually the strange brews are ones where we're like, whoa, that's weird, you know, and it's like a novelty and you never want to drink it again. This one I could drink again. I think it's perfectly drinkable, perfectly enjoyable, and it's not so strange that I wouldn't want to have it again.
I agree, but I'll tell you this. I have another beer from this brewery. It's called Umami Monster that maybe we will have to have, that's made with kelp and some other weird things. And I think that would be maybe more of a strange brew.
Sounds like it. I haven't had many kelp beers.
Yeah. So, I mean, like I said at the beginning, like, check out their website, because I was really fascinated by the number of beers they produce, and that almost all of them are really odd ingredients. So, very interesting place.
All right, well, let's move into the next beer. The next one we have is a traditional IPA. It's called Hop Whoopin'. This is from Oso Brewing Company in Plover, Wisconsin. Now, while you pour it, Hop Whoopin' and the next one, No Resolutions, and then two on the first half, the Killer Bees and the Pseudo Sue, are all beers that we got off a website, a service actually. It's an app on your phone called Tavour, and they feature a couple different beers a day, and they send you a description to your email, and they push a notification to your phone, and if you like the beer, you say, order it. And then they bill you right there for the beer. It's not unreasonable, the price for the beer. It's what you would pay for in the store, pretty much, I would say. And then they ship you the box once a month. So you pay for the shipping. But it's not really unreasonable. And you get highly rated beers from throughout the country. So on several of the previous podcasts, we have had Tavour beers. And Jeff and I are both about to receive our third box, I believe, or fourth box.
Or fifth.
Yeah, so we've been doing it a while. We didn't mention it because we didn't want to promote something that we weren't sure about. And we hadn't really thoroughly tested. So I have to say at this point, I'm pretty happy with it. And so I'll start telling you when one of the beers that we try is from Tavour. And then that way you can... if they still have it available, you can try it out. Or maybe if you sign up for it, then you can order the beers that you like. And then some of the times you're going to have the same beers that we have on future episodes of the show. So it's pretty neat. Definitely worth checking out. And if you go to Tavour, TAVOUR.beerTheDay.com, or to make it simple, just TAV. .beerTheDay.com in your web browser, it will take you to Tavour. And if you sign up there, then we'll get $10 credit on Tavour, and you can help us out that way. So just a suggestion, we've been using it for a few months and have enjoyed it so far. And a lot of the diversity that we have on the show now is because we're getting some Tavour beers from throughout the country. And we're finding out a lot of good beers using them.
Yeah, and I think the real value is, you know, a lot of our listeners want to get some of the beer that we get. And sometimes you're stuck wherever you live, you're just limited to whatever beer you can get there. And it's a good service because it makes all this beer from really around the country available to you. And I know a lot of you out there are looking for something like that. And even if you don't get the exact same beer, like the Melvin, for example, we had the Melvin 2x4 that I picked up at a bottle shop in Seattle. But then when I see the Killer Bees on Tavor, I'm going to order it because I had such a great previous beer from Melvin. So I think it's good for that too, when you see a brewery that you recognize, just to get the beer when it's available.
Right. A lot of times it's like, order it and it's a 2-pack for $5.99. Really reasonable. Or it's a 22-ounce bomber bottle for $7.99. Very common. Check it out, tavour.beeroftheday.com. All right, so let's talk about Oso Brewing Company Hop Whoopin'.
So color of this is a very golden yellow color, fairly light for an IPA. This is a 7% IPA. It's got a pretty thick, extremely white head. And what I notice about the head is it's sort of foamy and soapy, but it really provides a lot of lacing on the glass. And I like that in a beer. I think that's a good sign typically.
Really small bubbles in the head. I think the previous Strange Brew we had was the biggest bubbles you're ever going to have. This is some of the smallest you're ever going to have. Now, as I was blabbing about Tavor for 3 or 4 minutes, my head has dissipated down to just kind of a small layer on the top.
I think the aroma is very dominated by tropical fruits. I mean, that it just completely stands out, whether it's pineapple, mango, you know, guava, passion fruit, some kind of tropical fruit is completely just overwhelming my senses.
Now, I agree with that. I guess as I opened it and first poured it, it was very dankish smelling. As it sat here for the last minute or so while we were kind of going over Tavor, it is now kind of aerated. And now the smells, you're getting a little bit more of the tropical kind of sensation to it.
And I think I didn't mention this, but it's quite hazy. How's yours, Jeff? Is it pretty hazy?
Yeah. I mean, it's definitely not clear like some beers. It's not.
I can't see a finger through it at all. I barely get a shadow.
You know, sometimes it's how much the beer's been shooken up. So I hold it up to the light and put my finger behind it, and I can't, you know, I can't make out that it's a finger or a pencil or whatever.
Yeah, I mean, it's not cloudy like a cloudy hazy IPA, but it is hard to see through it.
Whew. Now, this is a 7%, 95 IBU. I would say this is strong enough to be considered a double IPA. Even though it's only 7%, which would be low for a double IPA, it has the hop kick and the overwhelming punch of flavor that, you know, I wouldn't recommend this beer to any lightweight.
Yeah. I mean, it's a pretty pungent bitterness. And 95 IBUs is high, first of all, and it's especially high for a single IPA. I mean, that's something you see with a double IPA or a triple IPA. I mean, when I say 7%, and 95 IBUs, that's not normal.
It's not normal. As fruity as this beer smells, there is some fruit to it, but really the bitterness is pretty overwhelming to me. Maybe a couple more sips, I might be able to get more of those underlying flavors.
And there's a little bit of malt. I mean, it's a little bit different from some of the West Coast IPAs that we are used to. It's not super malty like a East Coast IPA. It's a little bit in the middle, which makes sense geographically for a Wisconsin beer. But this is a pretty bitter beer. Like some people love bitter IPAs, then this is the perfect beer for you. But if you don't like bitter IPAs, you probably wouldn't like this.
I get a rye bread malt base and then a resinous hop flavor on top of it.
Mm-hmm.
And very little sweetness. Really not much fruitiness. This is like a real Lumberjacks IPA.
Is there like a peppery finish like rye IPAs tend to have, or is that just the
Maybe just a little bit.
Bitterness.
No, I do get some of that, like a little black pepper.
It's resinous. I enjoy the beer because I've become accustomed to bitter IPAs, bitter beers in general. But it's a pretty bitter IPA.
I mean, it's pretty rough.
It's intense.
It's making my mouth like water and not in a good way.
And it's that really dry grapefruit bitterness that, you know, again, some people love this type of beer. The more I drink it, it is much more of a West Coast style IPA.
Yeah, but it's no joke. It's for serious bitter hop heads only.
Hop whooping.
That's about the best name you could pick for this beer, because it will give you a whooping like few beers do.
Incoming transmission.
You've got mail.
Comments this week. On beerofthedaythedotcom, we post the beer of the day every day, and you can leave comments on the website. You can rate beers, leave your reviews of them. So it's a good way to interact about the beers that we feature. You can even post your own beers of the day. And we've had a few people lately post beers that they've had. I don't know if this person posted this beer or not, but it wasn't one that we had featured previously. It's called Calf Life Milk Stout from Bottle Logic Brewing in Anaheim, California. And M&M Mom posted on the website, had it tonight at Hop Daddy. So good. Maybe even better than, I dare say, Guinness. Now, Guinness is a good stout, so having a milk stout that's good as Guinness is one we'll have to check out. Jeff and I were in Anaheim maybe 5 months ago. We did not have this one, but we will have to seek it out at a later date. So thanks for posting, M&M Mom. On Instagram, we are on Instagram at Beer of the Day site. On January 22nd, we featured Pride of the Chops Sea Hops.
I mean, December 22nd. Or January 2nd.
January 2nd. This year, 2017. Pride of the Sea Hops from Beechwood Brewing. And Beer with a View gave us the open mouth emoji of astonishment. It was a pretty good picture that Jeff took. BJB 2.0 at Beer of the Day site. Proper use of the hashtag BOTD hashtag. Everyone should know that hashtag BOTD stands for hashtag Beer of the Day. By the way, great beer on your pick. Beer Cap Country said, "This is great," smiley face. So that's another place you can see the Beer of the Day if you follow us on Instagram. And Jeff posts the photo and a little description of the beer each day. So be sure to follow us on Instagram and get that sent to your feed each day. We also post it to Twitter every day, and we are at Beer of the Day on Twitter. You can follow us there. On January 4th, Allagash House Beer from Allagash Brewing in Portland, Maine, was featured as the Beer of the Day, and Allagash retweeted us on Twitter to their 27,000 Twitter followers. That was a very good day for Beer of the Day on Twitter. One of the best. So did Fremont Brewing in Seattle and Surf Brewery in Ventura. And that's all within the last week. So that all adds up and we get more followers. If you retweet the Beer of the Day, all your followers will see the Beer of the Day and they could follow us too. And that's how we expand our reach and get more people listening to the show. We've got 6,582 Twitter followers as of today, and that continues to climb. We're also on Facebook, facebook.com/TheBeerOfTheDay. On New Year's Eve, we featured anchor Merry Christmas and Happy New Year 2016, Vincent Moscato from Richboro, Pennsylvania. It was spectacular. We really enjoyed it. And Douglas Cooper, a magnum of 2015 is awaiting me tonight. I had a few of those on New Year's Eve myself, and I have to admit, it's pretty great beer for the holidays. It has that holiday spice, the festivity, and it's an all-around good drinking beer from Anchor. So definitely one I look forward to every Christmas and New Year's. So thank you for all the comments. If you want to send us feedback, you can send us feedback by email at feedback@beerofthedaycom or just post it on the website. All right, let's get into the next beer. Now, this one has a good name for a post-New Year's beer. It's called No Resolutions. This is a double IPA, 7.6% from the Bronx Brewery in Bronx, New York.
I thought the same thing when I first picked up this beer in December. I thought it was like a seasonal New Year's thing, no resolutions, but I think that's just a coincidence.
Well, it was well planned on your part.
So this one is, the can says it's an IPA. At 7.6%, it's sort of getting into the double IPA territory. 50 IBUs. Color-wise, it's a little bit more of an orange color. Good, pretty sizable head. White and very foamy. Pretty clear. A little haze to it, but it's a pretty clear beer.
Yeah, ours is quite hazy as the previous one, and we have almost no head on our beer.
Very little, if any.
You guys got it out of the can, right?
Yep.
Correct.
Maybe I was aggressive on my pour.
It could be, or it could be, you know, shipping and distribution, and you know, who knows what these cans went through on their way to us. So. You never know with a beer, but we'll give you two versions of it and let you know how it is.
I mean, it's coming all the way from New York, so I like the variety and the geographic diversity on this show.
Yeah, now, so this one is a little higher in alcohol, but it's basically half the IBUs. So I'm interested to compare two IPAs where, you know, they're both pretty much double IPAs. In my opinion, and let's see what we got here.
Aroma, I get a little bit of citrus, maybe some pine, not so much of the tropical fruit like the last beer. It's much more citrus and pine, almost like a traditional West Coast IPA, even though it's from New York. But I get those sort of two characteristics on the aroma.
Yeah.
Any like honey or... kind of sweetness.
I do get a little caramel malt and maybe even a little caramel itself. So that could be just the malts coming through. It could be some type of sweetness coming through on the aroma, but I'll take a sip now.
Yeah, this on the taste is a very well-balanced beer. It's the right amount of malt, the right amount of hops. It's what I sort of expect from a East Coast brewery. It's hoppy. I mean, it's a little bitter, but not too bitter. Nothing like the last beer. And it's very well-rounded in terms of the flavors.
Yeah, it has a really good balance between malt and hop. I would put the hops at probably pine. Is the most prevalent. There might be a little bit of citrus there, but I can't place it as a particular type of fruit. So I'll just say pine. And it's not really very caramel on the malt, but it's kind of a bready, kind of a standard, just a kind of a bready malt base. Quite malty, though. It's definitely East Coast. That's quite distinctly separate from the West Coast, where you kind of get that on the aroma, but it's not really, doesn't really come through in the flavor.
And maybe this is sort of lingering from the last beer, but... after a couple of sips, it tastes a little more bitter than the 50 IBUs. It's maybe some more citrus bitterness, but yeah, I think it's mostly pine. It's malty, sort of medium carbonation, medium body, but it's solid. I mean, this is a good, like, standard double IPA, what I look for in a double IPA. I like this. And, you know, New York has sort of been one of these up-and-coming areas for IPAs. we had a couple on our last show of the hazy IPAs, and this is very different from those, you know, types of beers.
I was surprised by that. I was surprised there were so many of the hazy IPAs from New York, because we haven't had any from there before. The IPAs we've had from New York in the past have been more like this one.
Yeah. And I think this is your, when I say your East Coast IPA, I'm excluding the like Vermont style hazy IPAs, because it is nothing like that. It's more of the traditional East Coast IPA.
Right.
Yeah, I think the more I drink it, the bit more bitterness starts to kind of come out on the palate.
Because it tastes like more than 50 IBUs, right?
Yeah.
I would have guessed 75.
And it could have been the adjustment. We were at a very bitter beer, so this one tasted less bitter than you think it would be. And then as you drink it, the bitterness becomes a little more accumulating on the tongue. But I think it's certainly more approachable than the Hop Whoopin'. All right, well, I think that sums that one up. Let's move into the final beer of the night. Now, this is one that we have been holding on to for quite a while. It's been over a year since Jeff sent me home. Oh, he actually brought it up here one time when he was up to Northern California. This is the Tusk and Grain Bourbon Barrel Aged Coconut Stout from St. Archer Brewing Company in San Diego, California. I think this was a pre-buyout, if I'm not mistaken. 13.4%. And it comes in a white wax topped bottle, black bottle. Really cool packaging on this one. I didn't even know it was St. Archer until I read this sentence right now. We've been to St. Archer before in San Diego, and pretty big fan of it. They are ones that make only a few different beers, but make them all well. They've expanded their lineup in recent years to have a little more variety, but pretty solid with the quality.
And this beer, if I remember correctly, I picked it up at Whole Foods, and you know, I don't know if anybody else has this experience, but you go to Whole Foods and they don't always put every beer out on the shelf. You have to like get to know the guy who works there, who's like the beer keeper, and you ask him for like the special beers that they don't bother to put out. And this was one of them, and it's, you have to like ask for it, and you have to know these like code words. But I asked, you know, what are some special beers you don't have out? And he brought out two bottles of this. So I think it's pretty rare. Highly sought after. This is my first experience with the Tuscan Grain series. They make a couple different ones, but this is a pretty special beer. 13.4%. It's been barrel aged and then aging in our cellars for probably a year, like Dallas said. So it should be pretty smoothed out by now. Oh, this is gonna be good.
It smells delicious, by the way.
This beer is really, really dark. It's dark brown, though. It's not black, but it's as dark a brown as you can get. Barely any light can creep through around the edges. It's the slimmest measure of light that comes through this beer.
Very little head, though. I'm not seeing. It was kind of a light head pour. Is the same for you, Jeff?
Yeah, and I think a lot of barrel-aged stouts have really thin heads, and it's always this like dark sort of khaki colored head, large bubbles but very thin. But I think that's pretty standard for this style.
I'm getting only the faintest small little bubbles, but the head that I have on mine is almost completely dissipated.
But like on the aroma, this smells delicious. It's, you can smell the barrel, you can smell the bourbon, coffee, the toffee, the chocolate. I mean, I know
coconut.
What this is, and the coconut. I mean, I know what this is going to taste like before I even take a sip.
I don't know what this beer costs, but just the smell of it is worth the price.
It's not cheap, I'll tell you that. It's a rare, unique beer to get.
It's so good.
Taste is good. I mean, first sip, it reminds me a bit of like the Goose Island Bourbon County Stout. And a lot of these barrel-aged stouts have these flavors. It's the oak. It's the chocolate. I don't get a lot of coconut, though. I'm surprised. There's There's not much coconut in the taste.
Maybe
a little bit.
Maybe a little bit. Maybe a little sweetness in the aftertaste. But what I get in this is it tastes like a coffee liqueur. It tastes like Kahlua with maybe a touch of cream in it. Maybe that's just the creamy mouthfeel. But you get a lot of coffee and you get a little of that booziness, a little vanilla sweetness. Maybe a little bit of the it might be coconut, but I'd say it's more like nutty, like amaretto almonds. But what a great flavor.
Yeah, I agree. It's the coconut, I think, creates this flavor where it's a little bit of vanilla, a little creamy. I think you're spot on with the nuttiness. I mean, these are complex beers. I mean, we can sit here and name off all kinds of flavors we get. These are very interesting beers. I really appreciate the barrel aging because it makes the beer smooth and adds all these intricate flavors.
It does. I was talking with somebody, maybe it was Lance, who says that he's not a big fan of these beers because they all taste the same. But I think you really have to look at the subtleties. Obviously, they all are barrel-aged, bourbon barrel-aged. They all have the same kind of toasted, roasted malt backbone. They're all a little bit boozy. You know, they warm you as you drink it. But they all have coffee and a little toffee, and some usually will have vanilla. So there's a lot of similarities, but you can really get the ones that are so balanced. And this one is that for me. It's just one that there are so many complexities in this beer that you can keep drinking it and every sip is going to be a little different and you're still going to be having to work to wrap your mind around all the little intricacies of the beer.
Yeah, this is phenomenal. I'm so glad we had this and it's strong. I mean, I know we mentioned this, but 13.4%, but it's drinkable. It's a little boozy. I mean, you can taste a little bit of alcohol. But yeah, I could sit down.
But if you're
and
sipping
sip
it, it's not
this.
Like yeah. You're getting a burn or anything.
Yeah, it's not a boozy burn.
It's one of those slow sippers. Like right. Slowly sip on it, enjoy it throughout the night. You don't need to sit there and chug it.
You're not going to take big gulps of it, but it's also not going to be one where you go, whoo! You know, it's not like taking a shot or anything. It's just a nice, enjoyable, relaxing sipper.
Yeah, this is one of your nice, like relaxing winter beers while watching maybe a movie or something, just kind of enjoying your night.
Yeah, definitely wintertime. Good thing we waited for winter to roll around to try this one.
And it's a small bottle. I mean, it's bigger than a normal 12-ounce bottle. It's about one pint. But this is the type of beer that I'd love to just sit down with a good friend and just share this between two people. Perfect size for that.
It is.
I'm actually going to be kind of sad that there's not any more of it. So
I'm actually sad that there's not more people here to try this. Like I know Joel would really love this beer and too bad.
Should have been here.
I invited him. They'll learn someday. Jeff, you want to recap the beers we've had tonight?
Yes. So this was an interesting, very diverse show. We had 7 beers. We started out with the Melbourne Brewing Killer Bees. Next, we had the Claremont Craft Ales Raspberry Gosa. Right before the break, we had the Toppling Goliath Pseudo Sue. Then after the break, we had 4 more beers. We started with our Strange Brew, the Garage Project Death from Above from New Zealand. Then we moved into the Oso Brewing Company Hop Whoopin' IPA. Then the Bronx Brewery No Resolutions Double IPA. And we just finished with the St. Archer Tuscan Grain Bourbon Barrel Aged Coconut Stout.
What a lineup. Let's spin the wheel and see who goes first. Ooh, looks like ladies first tonight.
All right. Well, it was kind of a tough one. I was torn between the St. Archer Brewing Tuscan Green Bourbon Barrel Aged Coconut Stout and the Killer Bees by Melvin Brewing. Unfortunately, I guess I'm going to have to go with the Killer Bees only because of the drinkability factors, I would like to enjoy something that I can drink throughout the day. So being light and refreshing, I can kind of drink it all day long and not feel like I'm restricted to one or two and being done. I'm going to have to go with the Killer Bees.
All right. I mean, not my typical style of beer, the Killer Bees, but if I'm going to drink a blonde ale, I can't think of a better one than that. So, wow. You know, my typical style is the Pseudo Sioux Pale Ale. Outstanding. But this Tuscan Grain Bourbon Barrel Aged Coconut Stout was so good, so complex, and just quality. I mean, nothing was overpronounced. You get the dark toasted malts, you get the bourbon barrel age, you get the smoothness of that aging process. You get the vanilla, which is great in any stout. It was just a great experience. I will probably never forget that beer. So Tuscan Grain, that's my beer of the day.
All right, so I'm last, and this is really tough. It is not too often where I'm completely torn between a few beers. And I think we had such a diverse style here, and that a lot of these beers, if we had these beers on a show with just that style, they would have been like a unanimous beer of the day. The Killer Bees was awesome. Claremont Craft Ales, that Raspberry Gosa was really good. I mean, for a fruity Gosa, I haven't had anything better than that. The Toppling Goliath, Pseudo Sioux, like Dallas said, I mean, when you look at a pale ale, sort of something we gravitate towards, it doesn't get much better than that. So it's a tough decision. There's a couple beers here that I would really love to have over and over again, but I have to agree with Dallas. My pick is the St. Archer Tuscan Grain. It's one of the best bourbon barrel aged beers I've had. I'm not a big fan of coconut in general, but I don't get much coconut on this beer, and just the flavors of this, it's very smooth. I'm glad we held on to this. It's an extremely tasty stout, and I'm very glad that I had this tonight.
Excellent. Well, I don't think we could have picked seven better beers to kick off 2017 with. And I get the opportunity to Rickroll our listeners one more time, thanks to Rick Astley's news story. So thanks for listening. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for supporting us on Amazon. Thanks for checking out Tavour on tavour.beerofthedaycom. Thanks for leaving your comments at feedbackbeerofthedaycom. You can follow us on Twitter at Beer of the Day, Facebook, facebook.com/TheBeerOfTheDay, Instagram at Beer of the Day site. And we post the Beer of the Day to all those places every single day. If you sign up on the website and put your email address and phone number, we will text you the Beer of the Day each day straight to your phone with the picture included and a link to the Beer of the Day. You can respond to that text and rate the beer. You can respond to that text message right on your phone to leave a comment on the website. It's all integrated. And we'll also email it to your email box each day with the photo and the description right there. So there's countless ways to get the Beer of the Day. And we hope you continue to sign up and participate in the site. Send in your comments. We will read them on the next program. Next week, not next week, it'll be 2 weeks from now. But I always say next week because I'm in the habit of that. We have a Porter show. We're waiting for a couple more porters to come in. We already have, I think, five or six of them in the Beer of the Day vault right now that we've been compiling for a long time. And it's been a while since we've had a porter show. And we've got a lot of good ones to try. So we will see you next time. Thank you for tuning in. For Jeff Miller and Kira Hopkin, I'm Dallas Elliker. This has been the Beer of the Day podcast.